You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Luke here, Luke chapter 5. I don't know why I say we'd be looking at Luke, because we've been looking at Luke for the past 8 weeks. We're going to look at Luke for the next year. So, chapter 5. I'll just say chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 10 says this: "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." I always think this is funny. If you don't know, I'll send Fran the title to the message. And then I'm always curious what she puts a picture on the front of the bulletin. I love this picture. It didn't cross my mind. So that's Fran's picture, her creativity. And the Lord does want us for his service. And two, when we look at this verse, it says, Jesus is saying, do not be afraid, from now on up, you will be catching men. And any time in the scriptures where you see the word men like that in context, it always means men and women. It's just the literary form. So from now on, you'll be catching men and women. We're looking at Luke, and I think it's important, and you know, I'm repeating myself, but still it's important as we move through the book of Luke. He is writing about an investigation, all right? He got saved under the Apostle Paul. He traveled with the Apostle Paul. And so in his travels with the Apostle Paul, he is a Gentile. He's a non-Jewish person, and he writes to a friend who is a non-Jewish person, and he says, let me tell you about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give you an investigative account. So when we look at Luke, I think it's important to remember that Luke is investigating this, and he is writing it out as answers to his investigation, all right? And so how we come up to this point, and it really adds meaning to it, we've seen Jesus' birth, we've seen the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus, we've seen Jesus start his teaching and the miraculous ministry. It's just beginning. And now we see something that's very interesting. Jesus is moving forward, and he now is enlisting workers that he can disciple and carry out his ministry. So there's a little change here. Jesus is the main point, and he's doing this ministry, and everybody's going, wow. But here he goes, I need some people, and he starts enlisting workers. And this is how he does it. It's interesting. This is how he does it. And one of the things I think it's important to look at this, at how Jesus does it, is that he still does it today. He still works the same way. And so we need to be aware of what's going on around us. So what I want to do first, and just follow, I don't have any overheads here, and if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, fine, or you can just follow along as I read it. But I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Luke 5, just so you can get the full context, and then we're going to talk about it. All right, so here is Jesus carrying out his ministry. It's just beginning. People are following him, but he hasn't have anybody that is carrying out the ministry for him. So here we are, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. Now, I just think it's important to kind of underline that. Why are the people pressing in on Jesus? It's to hear the word of God. He is telling them things, and he's speaking things of truth that is getting their attention. They're seeing things about what God is speaking, and they see it through this person, Jesus. So the crowd's pressing in on him to hear the word of God, and he was standing by a lake called Gennesaret. Well, I didn't learn something all the time. That's the Sea of Galilee, okay? They just, different people called it different things. So he calls it Gennesaret. It's the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. All right? Now, here's a little interesting tidbit. Y'all into interesting tidbits? Acoustically, that is really smart. So I guess Jesus kind of knew acoustically that was smart, because you have all these people here. So you get out on this boat in this smooth lake, your voice projects. Isn't that something? So he said, I'll get out in the boat, go out there. I mean, I don't think Peter had a clue. You know, it's all right, you want the boat, you won't get fine, whatever. But Jesus got, so he can project. So you have all these people following him. So he's out in this lake, so he's speaking so he can project. Then he finishes speaking, verse 4. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, this is Simon Peter, put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. So he's made this big, during the day, he's communicated to the people, so he's finished. And he's, hey, Peter, take the boat out, put your nets down for a catch. And Simon answered, Simon sounds like me, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. He says, we fished all night. We haven't caught a thing. And by the way, you don't fish in the daytime because that's not when you catch them. You fish at night. He toiled all night. We caught nothing. But huge statement. Huge statement. But at your word, we'll go out and cast the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Now here's another little tidbit, okay? It interests me, okay? So you got Simon, you got James and John, you know, so they're the disciples that ultimately followed Jesus. Hey, these guys were fishing partners, okay? They had a little business going here. And so Jesus, the three guys, James, Peter, James, and John, so they grew up together. These guys grew up together. So here you have that picture. Then Jesus, so they're astonished. The nets are breaking, the boats are sinking. They've never seen so many fish at one time. And Jesus said to Simon, now here's the context. Jesus said to Simon, he's sitting here, the boat's sinking, nets broke, fish are just smothered with fish. And he says, Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, so we have this account. So you see Jesus, he is moving out in his ministry. He proclaimed himself to be the Christ. He's been preaching to the people, but now he is engaging people to join him. He's engaging people to work with him, that he's going to disciple, that's going to carry out this same message that Jesus has. And so as we look at this, look at the application. I want to go back over some of these verses here. Enlisting workers. This is how Jesus enlists workers. First of all, when Jesus is enlisting any workers, God shows himself to you where you are. This is huge. A lot of times, and I like to go to conferences. I mean, there's bad conferences and there's good conferences, but I like to go to conferences. Like, well, I'll go to the conference about Jesus and I'll meet Jesus at this conference, you know, or I'll go, they'll have a certain other thing you can go and you can experience and you can do whatever and you can meet Jesus there. All right. Now, that's not how it works. I mean, I think these are things good and you should learn, but where are you going to meet Jesus? And when Jesus moves, he's going to show himself to you where you are. Because where you are is where God wants you at that time. And it's just throughout Scripture. So God shows himself to where you are. And you'll note that Jesus revealed himself on their behalf in their current occupation. In their current occupation. Well, if you quit your job and go to seminary, I'll meet you. I can just tell you just from a few testimonies, that won't work. You meet God first. There's Jesus reveals himself on your behalf in your current occupation. And they saw the reality of Jesus, these men, Peter saw the reality of Jesus in their physical life on this physical earth. He did something around them to them, and they said, you know, this never happened to us, and this never worked for us. And it's like, what is this? What happened here? And you have to step back and you're going, God had to move in this situation. God somehow has shown himself to me in this situation where I am. He came to meet you where you were. And in fact, I bet we could get personal testimonies from people and say, when was it that you first met with Jesus where he became real? Well, I went to South America. Now, the people in South, Jesus meeting the people of South America in South America, he's going to meet you here. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't use other things, but just the point to understand who we are and where we are. And so Jesus will show himself. He is real, and he will show himself to you as real in your situation, in your situation. Luke verse chapter 5, verse 4. So they're at the lake. These guys are fishermen. They're at the lake. Luke 5, verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, go to Jerusalem and go to a conference. No. He said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You know, and you're going, Simon, you know, I relate to Simon in this incident. He's about, I fished all night. It's the heat of the day. Nobody fishes at night in the heat of the day. But he says, no, you put into the deep, let down for a catch, because I told you to. Because God moved in your heart. He prompted you. He stirred you, got your attention some way, and you go, okay. Enlisting workers. Life has challenges. And you know, work, life can be feel unproductive and often unfulfilling. However, when Christ speaks into our very life in a personal way, when we obey God's word, even our old efforts and our secular endeavors come to life. You know, we think it's the job. We think it's our old efforts that messed up. And, I mean, if we're doing something wrong, that's, you know, that's a different thing. But just working at things and just not being productive and just in this world. But when we listen to Jesus and obey him, all of those things become alive. They come alive. The key to it is that he is in that situation and is speaking. And it comes to life. His presence is the difference. It's not what you're doing. It's his presence. I think I should say, and all God's people said, it's not what you're doing, it's his presence. And this is what he's showing Peter right now. Put out in the deep. Cast out the net. And the Peter, God bless him. Look at Luke 5:5. And Simon answered, that's Simon Peter, and Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. You ever feel prompted by the Lord to do something? Just whatever, nudge, and you guess. And in your own way, you go, Master, I toiled all night. I took nothing. Not, no. You know, I just, not again. I mean, I'm just tired. How about, you know, maybe tomorrow, good movie on tonight, and I just, now pray about it. You know, I love when Christians pray about it like that. A lot of times you say, I'm praying about it. That means I'm not doing it now. Maybe later. Okay? So, I mean, that's a Christian cop-out. But I think we should pray about it. Absolutely. We should pray about everything. Something. We should. But is we'll pray about it a cop-out when God is clearly telling us to do something. And this is individual. This is individual. Okay? So, Simon is complaining. Again, I really relate a lot of ways to Simon, you know. But he says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Now, two, and I think it's important, is what really struck me when I was looking at this. This is all talking about their secular work. They're fishermen. He's talking to them in their work. See, God moves into your life, into your work, and he talks into your life and talks into your work. All right? And I think we need to understand that. And don't think if he's not talking into your life and talking into your work, you can go someplace else and then he's going to start talking to you. It's not going to happen. See? Well, I will go to such and such, and I'm just using this just because it make a point. I'll just go to seminary and then he will speak to me. No, he won't. He will speak to you beforehand. Or I'll do this and then, no, he'll speak to you now and then he'll speak to you later. He'll speak to you where you are. It's important to recognize where you are. And where you are is not by accident. Not by accident. Now, so we see, at your word, I will do it. Now, here's something that is so fascinating. It ties into last week's sermon a little bit. And it's when we're walking with Jesus, we find out that life is not a matter of just talk only, but it's power. There is power. As he speaks into our life, everybody has a job. Everybody's working. You're working within your family, whatever you're doing. Okay. What he does, it's just not a matter of talk. It is a matter of power in your situation. In your situation. Now, power what? That we believe on God and that he is moving and he's working in the situation. And so we're alert and we're paying attention to the things around us. We see God moving and we're paying attention. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God, and we talked about that last week. Encourage you to listen to that message. For the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but of power. Now, what this means, there is when God moves and he speaks and we're interacting with him, there is a movement of power of his presence in our life. All right? Now, we may go through struggles. We will go through struggles. I mean, that's a promise of God, okay? So, see how many of us have experienced the promise of God, okay? We're going through struggles, see? But there's other promises. As we go through those struggles, he's teaching us and he's telling us, and he reveals his power to take us through those struggles, and then we become stronger on the other end of those struggles. It's not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. And we focus upon the Lord and his power working in us. We grow through all our situations. And that's what he's saying here. Now go back and think about, he's talking to these guys. Go cast your nets out into the deep. And don't stay in the shallow part. Go cast your nets out into the deep. I fished all night. All night. But at your word. Okay. Yeah, okay. I don't know if he's just praising Jesus and everybody's singing, going out there. Whatever you say, all right, we got it. And so we see God say, I'm going to show you my power in your difficulty. But the thing of it is, to have power in difficulty, it's got to get difficult. All God's people said. That's a weak amen. They do this, oh, good grief. Okay, but you see what I'm saying? But you see... You see what's happening here. You see what's happening here. So when enlisting workers, Jesus brings productivity and fulfillment into the lives here on earth. So we know that he, even as we're going through things and we're suffering through things and we learn in every single event, his ultimate goal is to bring us into a point of productivity where we are a productive member of society, I'll put it that way, but it's more than that. We're productive in how he's built our character and how we can stand up in situations. You know, I think a lot of people that are really turn out to be productive people in the workforce, have a lot of character in the workforce, you know, are those who call upon the Lord, and God had builds that character. And if you fail to show character in the workforce, you think you're going to show character anyplace else? See, so God is constantly using everything to teach us in this life. And we see this with these fishermen. So Jesus seeks and shows his power while they're fishing. You see what I'm saying? In what they are doing. He's showing his power in what they are doing. And you see this principle. Now, these guys have been following him along. They've seen him do some stuff already up to this point. They've been going, wow. But now it's them. It's not just him, it's them. He said, you catch, and they're pulling in this fish, and they are really shocked. But so they see this productivity happening. And it's as a big a ministry to them as it anybody else. Who's he witnessing to? You think Jesus went, man, you guys caught a bunch of fish. That was a good, you know, little, that was good of me, wasn't it? Now, he knew. He was trying to show them that when they did what he said, they would be productive. Now, again, this is in the secular realm. Certainly works in the spiritual realm, but this is in their secular work. They're fishing. So he's showing that they are productive. They can be productive in their work and build their character when he does what? Why did they throw the nets down? Why did they? He told them to throw them down. They did the same thing, same work, but now they're doing what he said. He said, throw your nets down into the deep. And now they're pulling these fish in. Now here's something else. I just have a thought that this is really encouraging to somebody. And it's like, how many of you feel like you're going through life and you should have done this and it's like a missed opportunity? Or you did this, maybe you thought the Lord did it and you didn't do it and it's a missed opportunity. Or maybe you just put everything into it, 110%, and it just didn't work out and it's a missed opportunity. And you didn't think you really did anything bad or anything, but you just felt like there were missed opportunities. See, and that's probably what Peter felt. We fished all night. We did what we were supposed to. We worked hard. I'm give out. I ain't even been to bed yet. And you're telling me go back out there and cast that fish down again, you know? And he said, so you got this, like, this missed opportunities. But what we find out with God, they're not missed opportunities. They're stored up opportunities. You see what I'm saying? They're not missed opportunities. They're stored up. You didn't lose it and miss it. I mean, I was out there fishing all day, and the fish are not there, and they just left, and there's no fish. I'll never catch any fish. And he goes back in there, and he catches all this fish. He didn't miss any fish. They were just stored up. He just stored them up to when we would obey him. And so they caught this multitude of fish. They didn't miss a fish. It was just stored up. See what I'm saying? Look at this. Luke 5, verse 6 through 7. I kind of condensed it on the screen. And when they had done this, I have this underlined here. And when they did what? When they had done what? When they had done this, when they had done what Jesus told them to, and go out and throw the net back into the water where they were before, and fish doing what they did before, and when they had done this, they caught a large number of fish. Some Bibles say abundance. And their nets were breaking. Then they signaled to their partners in the other boats, and they came to help them. And when they came, they filled both the boats, and so that the boats were sinking. They're filling up. Their nets are breaking. They're getting the fish. The boat's sinking. They call these other guys over, and they come over in their boat, and they put fish in there, and their boats are sinking. It's like, good night. They didn't miss a fish. Did they miss a fish? Nothing is missed. What they did do, though, they did what the Lord told them to do in their secular work. And he blessed them for doing what he told them to do. And guess who's praising Jesus? Simon, James, John. They're like, whoa. Now, they didn't exactly praise him right off the bat. Not right off the bat. Because what happens is what happens is that we think, oh my gosh, God is God and I'm not. And it's like you kind of think, you know, I really got a lot of things to work on, and says, Lord, I don't think I've ever been listening to you, and oh, you're the majesty of God. And you say something like Peter. See, Peter says in 5:8. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh my God. All of a sudden, Peter recognized him and his human efforts as compared to Jesus. And it's like, Jesus, you're God. And I'm overwhelmed in your presence. I can't believe what happened to me. Now back up, I think, it's in their work. It's in their fishing. They're fishing. It's in their work. And all of a sudden, in their everyday work, they're giving glory to God because of God's blessing in their work, because God is blessing their work, and they're productive in their work. And all they did was what God told them to do in their work. Amen? That's what's said. So you see, they're overwhelmed. So you see Jesus, you see Peter, and I'm going to throw in James and John because they were there. You know, they were there. And you see these men, and they see the productivity in their work. And all of a sudden, the focus on the Lord is like, oh my gosh, God is creator of all things. God works all things for good. Oh, Lord, God can do anything because he just did it for me. You know, it's hard for me to share what God can do for you if he never did nothing for me. You know? And it's like, he has done a few things for me. And most of the time when God does stuff for me, it's just like Peter, you know, goes throw out in the deep. And I'm like, you know, I've been there all night. You know, well, let's go through it. And I thought, okay. I go, and then it's like, oh, Lord, you're God. I'm sorry. I wasn't rejoicing in that trial, God. I'll try to rejoice in the next trial. Oh, Lord, I messed up. Listen. See, and then it's like, get up, come on, do what I tell you. It's the character building. It's teaching. It's spiritual teaching. He does it to us all the time. And here we have this picture of it, of how he does this. And here's something, a little lesson here. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is ready to pour out his abundance on you. His desire is for you to be productive and fulfilled. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of you really believe that it's God's desire for you to be productive and fulfilled? Do you really believe it? Because that's what the Bible says. It is his pleasure to see you productive. It is his pleasure to see you fulfilled. But he has to have you to praise him for it. That's the key. That's the key. Who do you think Peter was praising when he came off the lake? Jesus. He's like, oh my gosh. Jesus. Now, I'm just, an example. Say, what if Peter said, hey, James, John, just got a gut feeling. Let's go out, get some fish tonight, and it's all going to work out, and then all these fish come out, and everybody be, wow, look at Peter. Let's praise Peter. John and James, way to go, Peter. You know, that's what they'd be doing. But what happened is nothing worked. Apply this to yourself. Nothing worked. But when Jesus spoke, and then you step out with what Jesus did, and Jesus abundantly provides you, Jesus blesses you in some fashion, then when that happens, you step back and you go, oh, Lord Jesus, I praise you. Anybody with you will go, oh, Lord Jesus, I praise you. Do you see the principle? Do you see the principle? That's what he does. He does it all of that. In fact, I would just say he's done it in each of your lives at different times. He's done the same thing. He's very, very consistent. And so we see it here. We see it here. So he wants to share that abundance. Now, Peter has just fell on his face and said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Oh, Lord. Now, once God has our attention, you know it's hard to get our attention? It is, you know. Now, what I mean by get our attention, it's like God is the only one that can do this. So, well, I listen to God. No, most of us, if you're like me, you do the best you can to do what you have to do. Now, I think you should try and show initiative, you know. But if this is going to get done, I got to show some initiative. I got to get this thing. I got to make this thing happen. See? What happens when Jesus works, you come to a point and go like Peter said, oh, I'm a sinful man. I can't make none of this work. God, if you don't make it work, it's not going to work. See, doesn't that sound pitiful? But the thing of it is, and this is hard to say, in one way, that's where God wants you. God, if it's going to work, this is not going to work unless you do it. It did not go happen. God goes, good, now I can work. Because you'll give nobody credit because I've already seen you can't. You know? So you ain't taking credit and nobody's going to give you credit. So when it works, everybody's going to be praising Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's it. That's the principle here. It's just fascinating. And then so the answer to Peter saying, oh God, I'm a sinful man, which is a true statement, he says, we get back to our opening verse, Luke 5:10. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you'll be catching men. Now, gotcha. Now you're finally at a point. I can talk to you. You're finally at a point. You'll be obedient. Don't worry. You'll be catching men from now on. Look at the trek Peter had to travel to get to the point where Jesus would tell him, now you'll be catching men. Look where he had to go. See? And so we have to apply that. Where do we have to go? We have to go to the same place where it's God. It's not going to happen unless you do it. And we get to that point. God said, good. Now you'll be catching men. And nobody will get the glory but Jesus. Amen? That's what he's doing. So he's just getting us in tune with what he is doing. I saw the word here, be catching men. It's very funny what this word says. The word means, the Greek is very precise, you know, so you always see something in these words that are interesting. But the word there, be catching, means to catch alive. I don't know. It's like, you're going to catch them alive. So you got these living people who are going to be caught alive. And they're going to come into the kingdom, you know. It's alive people that you're trying to catch here. So now we have this in enlisting these workers. At this time, we see something that's happened to Peter, John, and James. Now, important to remember again, Peter, John, and James, if you read before that, have been traveling with Jesus. Okay, this isn't the first time they met. They've been watching him do stuff. I mean, he's been healing people. He made Peter's mother-in-law well, you know. I mean, so they've been watching him do stuff. But now, all of a sudden, now it came on them. All of a sudden, it says, now you will be catching me. All of a sudden, it was personal. You know, it wasn't just watching something else out there. It was something happening to them. And so this is what happens after that. He has their attention. At this time, their heart and their passion is on Jesus. See, again, kind of run it into the ground. Hey, he went in this church and he healed all these people. They're going, wow. Oh, he cast out some demons. Wow. He went over there and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Wow. And then now he came in and he touched us and he blessed us in this abundance, and all of a sudden it's, oh my God, Lord, you touched me. You touched me. You touched my work. You touched my life. See, and then they say this, because he had their heart and their passion, and when he had their heart and passion, what they wanted to do is say, oh my gosh, you touched me. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. Why do they want to serve him? Because he touched them. He touched them. See, nobody's going to want to serve Jesus unless he touches you. And when he touches you, it's like all you want to do is serve Jesus because he touches you. And then it says this, Luke 5:11. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. I mean, they saw him do all sorts of stuff. But when he touched them, it's like, no, all I want to do is follow you. That's all I want to do. You know, you tell me go fishing, I go fishing. I'm just following you. You know, I want to hear what you. So they left everything and followed him. That's how he enlists workers. His workers want to. You know, I've talked to you before about my brother-in-law, a football coach, he said, you have these kids and they all have ability, but some of them have want to, some of them don't, you know. So that's what Jesus does. He says, you got to need to have some want to. And he touches them, he touches us, and when he touches us, we have some want to. What? To make $1 million? To do this? No, we have a want to serve him. That's all we want. We just want to serve him. Everything's in perspective. We just want to serve him. Now, and that's what happens. That's what happens. Okay, a lot of people in the kingdom go into heaven, but they have zero want to. You know, I'm in heaven right now. I'm not going to do nothing, but I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me. Because Jesus died for me, and that's the only way you get to heaven. You trust in Christ. But some on that are touched by the finger of God have a want to serve Him, to serve Him. Now, I want to make a comment on this because I've seen, well, in my opinion, it's really misapplied, because it's what this means. You leave everything to follow Him. This means that our earthly existence, our job, our leisure, our family, all are an avenue to share the love of Christ. Okay? Because sometimes, see, we bloom where we are planted. You have a flower. You got flower. It's growing here. And so, look, bear here. You just keep it, and you put in this good soil, and you take it, and you put in this good soil. You get this good soil. You put this good soil. You know, does that plant ever grow? No, it never does. You know, because you're looking for some place to bloom. And God said, don't look for some place to bloom. Bloom where you planted. That's what He's saying. Bloom where you are planted. This is where God touched you. So that means your job, bloom where you are planted. I mean, don't look for another job unless you're selling dope or something, all right? And look for another job, all right? But if you got a decent job, you bloom in that job. You bloom where you are planted, all right? Say leisure. You have an opportunity, leisure time. You're taking your, I mean, does anybody take their kids to soccer or, yeah, they do. See, bloom where you planted, okay? Yay, go junior. But, hey, that's an opportunity to bloom where you planted that they know you're a Christian, that you serve Christ, you know? They should know you're a Christian. You should say it Sunday morning, and I asked Wallace permission to come here, and he gave me permission in the name of Jesus. No, you don't have to say that. But what I'm saying is you bloom where you are planted. You are bloom where you are planted. Your family, what are your family? You bloom where you planted. Here's something, and this is truth. My extended family, my mother and father, Linda's mother and father, my brothers and sisters, her brothers and sisters, I personally have led almost all of them to Jesus. You just bloom where you planted, you know? I mean, it's like they were just there. I didn't look for her family. I didn't look, but I just got kind of stuck in it, you know? And Abel, so I, sorry about that. You have a sweet family. I love her. Her brother got inducted to a football Hall of Fame thing at school he went to. And so he introduced everybody. And he came up to me and says, my sister married a pastor. God was trying to get somebody to clean this mess up. So anyway, he said that. Anyway, I love her family. Anyway, okay. Anyway, well, you want to talk about craziness, talk about my family. Amen. See, okay. Talk about my family. You know, it's like, Lord. But see, what you did is like, God, somebody was somewhere would just talk to my dad and lead him to Christ. You know, I mean, I think he caused more people to lose their faith than anybody, my dad. I mean, he just couldn't get through. But I was the one that had to, and I led my dad to Jesus at 83. He accepted Christ. I prayed with him at 83 to receive Christ. See, you bloom where you planted. See, I think Linda's family is Christians. They didn't start out that way. Mine didn't start out that way. You see what I'm saying? So God is saying, so the whole thing of this is, it is where we are. Where we are is our divine place of ministry. Now, however, if God speaks and says, go someplace else, let go if He speaks. Now, how do I know He's speaking? You'll hear it. You won't have a question. You won't go, no. You'll know. You see what I'm saying? You bloom where you're planted. Now, and the point of it is this. It is a heart issue. It's not a location issue. It's a heart issue, not a location issue. Well, I'll go over here and I'll be spiritual. I doubt it. You know, I'm just a pain in the butt, and I won't go over here, and I will never be a pain in the butt. No, you will be a pain in the butt here. It will go with you. So wherever you are, you grow. Amen? Wherever you are, you bloom. And that's God's hand, unless He speaks to you directly. Now listen to this. It's a hard issue. Listen to this. Have an overhead. 1 John 2:15. Here it is. Here's the bottom line issue. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's who you love, not where you are. I love Jesus behind this pulpit. I love Jesus in my house. I love Jesus watching your kids play soccer. I love Jesus. We're at the mall. It's not the place, it's your heart. Amen? So he said, the whole thing changes. The whole thing changes. And so when you God speaks to you and He does something for you, it's you, personal, then you want to serve Him where you are. Bloom where you planted. Bloom where you planted. Now, with this. So it's a process. It's a love issue. It's a love issue. So we'll close with this. Close with this. So this is what God is calling us to do. He's just calling us to love Him. But again, you need to experience Him. Experience Him in your job. Experience Him in your family. Experience Him where you are. He'll speak to you. He'll come. And it will look like a huge difficulty. Okay? That's how it comes. That's how it comes. But the bottom line, you have to have a relationship with him before you can serve Him. You have to have a relationship. And the only way that we can be counted worthy for God to work through us is to have that relationship with Him. We believe on Him, and He cleanses us. He forgives us, and we have that relationship, and therefore we're in a position to serve. We're in the position because of what He did to have some want to. See? Love it? Do you know? 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin, okay? He who knew no sin, my left hand here. I feel like doing this. I don't know why. But he who knew no sin, my left hand. Jesus knew no sin. Nothing on him. He's just pure. He who knew no sin. Okay? Now here on my right hand is me. Okay? Now me, knew sin. No sin. Am sinful. Okay, there's sin on me. Let this iPad right there represent sin. It's on me. My right hand here is sin. My left hand, Jesus knew no sin. He's clean, pure. He who knew no sin, Jesus, right? Amen? Became sin. Jesus, sin, that I might be as righteous as God. And nothing on me. There's no sin on me, not one sin. You think up a sin, it's on Jesus. Think of some of the bad word I said. Bounce it on Jesus. Okay? Say, you said pain in butt in church. Okay? It's on Jesus. I'm clean. All right. See? So what happens, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be the righteousness of God. We're forgiven. We're totally forgiven. We have a relationship. We trust in Him. We go to heaven. We're forgiven. There's nothing against us. Amen? And that's how you have a relationship. But now, he's going to speak to us. Peter had a relationship. James had a relationship. John had a relationship. But he spoke to them. He had something happen in their work. He had something happen in their family. He had something happen at the ball field or whatever. And then all of a sudden they said, oh Lord, my God, I want to serve you. I want to serve. Oh, God, I saw what you did for me beyond salvation, beyond being forgiven. I saw what you did for me. God, I got some want to now. I want to serve you. And you serve him in your job. You serve him in your family. You serve him in your church. You serve him in your leisure. Amen. Nothing's changed. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you that you show us these things. We wouldn't know. And that you want to do things in our life. And we get so discouraged because difficulties come in front of us, and we look at the difficulties as your displeasure. We look at the difficulties as we've done something wrong. And all they are is that you want us to cry out to you for help. You want us to say, God, I can't do this on my own. Just like we come to salvation, I can't save myself. You want us to come to you and say, I can't live this life myself. I can't live it by myself. It doesn't work by myself. Lord, I need you to work in me and through me. I want to see you work in my life. I want to serve you and see the power of God work through me to serve you, that only Jesus will ever get the glory. And all God's people said,